Greetings, my dear fellow listeners to Republic Broadcasting Network. It's so good to have you here again, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood where I am, in the 70s and sunny. And I hope you all are enjoying your nature wherever you are, too. We really appreciate your continuing support for the network, and you can go to republicbroadcasting.org and hit the donate button, visit the sponsors, and but if you're not online, which some of us aren't, but still use a phone, we have 800-724-2719, extension 3. You can call to donate, and you can donate by mail. Please make checks or money orders payable to RBN and send to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Now, today is the 14th of April in the year of our Lord Jesus the Christ, 2024, and maybe more. This is yours truly, Myrrh. And we had a chat room that I don't know what happened. It was sabotaged or what. But the one we have now is the same except number four, the number four numeral. For yours truly, myrrh.chatango.com. That's for yours truly, myrrh.chatango.com, or chat and go. And there's just so many interesting things going on. And I don't know, I don't have it in my notes here, but I just feel I have to say something. We don't always cover like what's in the news or anything, but it's just more of the same, the way Israel and everybody behind them is pushing now that Iran's going to attack Israel, and they've attacked. And, well, Israel attacked their embassy and killed people in Damascus. So we're not going to hear about that again. But I do think that where the Vatican is supposedly bankrupted now, that the Rothschild banks and, well, like Jesse Sobodor said, the Leviathan and the Sanhedrin are in charge. And they have been for some time. I mean, with the media and the money and everything. But now I think they're just really pulling out all the stops, because they've never had a kingdom last more than 80 years. And it's approaching that time period, and they're all getting nervous. And where are they going to be expelled to? They've been expelled 1,031 times, including Afghanistan, most recently. And starting with Egypt, and we had people, you know, saying how it was a miracle God split the sea, and he did. And God's not this ogre that people make him out to be in the Old Testament. It was the paid translators that changed what was inspired by God. And they changed words like fear from respect. The word was respect, and now it's fear, and they want us to fear everything. And they changed loving kindness in a lot of the translations, not all of the times it's used, but from loving kindness to mercy. They're again showing his harshness. And a lot of what the Israelites did, and the people in the Bible all through the time, were turning away from God, just like we're doing now, and we're disobedient. So it's allowed to happen. Now, Job, he was allowed to be tormented to what most of us, I don't think, could bear. Ended up sitting in the ashes and scraping his boils with pottery shards, you know. But he never talked back to God. And then in there is when God asks him if he is in control of all these things that, of course, God is in control of. And Jesus Christ is God. And that's where we find the word Maseroth. Oh, excuse me. Let me get my lemonade. Yum, yum. Lemon lime. So anyway, I just keep finding how everything goes back to not using the Bible for the foundation of everything. Creation, the flood, it tells the story of what's going on in the earth. And in the examples here, well, there's several different things, but I really like how Nikki Rapon, it's a very long article, pretty long, and I read it again. Jenna posted it again in Chris Hinckley's chat, and I had read it before, and I would really like to have it in audio form in Nordica's voice, Nordica Friedrich, because she's the one that Rosa Corey didn't want to mention. See, a lot of people say, oh, you know, who cares who did it first? Well, the fact is that Rosa Corey, being a Jewish lesbian, left out all those things to do with Jews and communitarianism and lifted the work from Nikki Rapana's work. And at one point had sent a ticket for $1,000 for Nikki to come to a conference. But there again, they weren't admitting that Nordica Friedrich, who is the co-writer of 2020 and the other things, all the different work, weren't even admitting that she existed. So Nikki was going to have her go and speak in her place, and Rosa wouldn't have it. So it's all the time sabotage. But what it gets back to now, Nikki saying about communitarian law being replacing constitutional law. Well, as we found out through Michael Gatti's more than 40 years of research of reading original documents, and this is what all these people have in common, Mrs. Q, and different ones Mike has had on, is they go back to the original documents. Well, the Bible is the original document for law included, the Ten Commandments. And so if we go away from that, then we just veer into Never Never Land, you know? So I wanted to read just a few short paragraphs from this article by Nikki, and I'll put it in the chat room. It's at Nikki Rapana, that's nikiraapana.blogspot.com, 2013-12, Behind Green Mask of Rosa Corey. Rosa Corey, K-O-I-R-E. The United States is quietly replacing the U.S. Constitution with communitarian law, completely ignored by Western journalists, barely mentioned by political experts, and never once appearing openly on a ballot. A complicit silent media, including the alternative media, ensures the deadly transformation of American jurisprudence is a great success. The only thing left to do now is mop up a few loose ends and eliminate any traces of opposition, mainly the anti-communitarian manifesto. Rosa Corey read our original works on communitarianism in 2010 and emailed me to tell me it was excellent. She renamed her 501c4 the Post Sustainability Institute and defined post-sustainability as the condition of environmental, political, social, and economic systems after the imposition of communitarianism. Notice it does not say law, okay, which it is. Why would Rosa Corey lie so boldly as if nobody would notice her big lies? The path to answer starts by looking at the missions of leading right-wing free enterprise, quote-unquote, capitalists. We see they almost all promote a return to biblical law and Christian values. They don't just mean the Ten Commandments, they mean Talmudic law. Even U.S. Supreme Court justices and Bush, too, insisted the oral, mystical Talmud is the actual basis for the entire American justice system in 2002. The big lie goes unchecked. Our 2003 Anti-Communitarian League, ACL, mission statement is very clear that we do not endorse any race, religion, or culture that claims to be superior to everyone else. Nordica often describes 2020 as our treatise against racism. 2020, Our Common Destiny, shares our conscript experience alongside evidence of U.S. community police training in Israel called, quote, the Harvard of Anti-Terrorism, unquote. The ACL provides an abundance of evidence of Etzioni's commitment to militant Zionism, and it's all taken from his own published works. Now, this few paragraphs don't do any justice to this whole article, so you really need to read it. And, you know, take a few minutes, and it's very good. And then the comments, too. I would go down into the comments, because you can see how some people just blatantly go after them for not just surrendering as if Rosa Corey, you know, that's fine, let her do it. If she's making, the reason she made more success is because she left out the Jewish part, of course, and was well paid to do so. And the ones that go along with this, they never seem to understand the Jewish perspective here, the international Jew control of currency worldwide. And so if you own the currency, you own everything the currency is used for. Just so happens. So that's one aspect of where, and it reminds me, like I said, of Mike's work and the anti-federalists, how they were ignored. And it was kind of a bad term anyway, but they were the ones that were preventing the Constitution. Now you see, the Nikki and Nordica going back to, and other communitarians going back to the Constitution as if that's the foundation, and it's faulty as hell, as all hell. And the Articles of Confederation and Perpetual Union aren't perfect, but they were for the people and the states, and the states were considered separate countries. And we see how, more recently, same thing was done in Europe, where they melded all the countries together into this union and then start bringing in the invaders. Same thing they're doing here. So anyway, I just found that interesting. And the last clip we're going to get to, I'll just mention it now, Randall Carlson. It's from the Rumble clip from part of the YouTube, and I'll post that in the chat too, wherein he says about Noah's flood and goes on like it's a myth, and he clearly hasn't read. He says, well, where did the water come from? Because he likes to talk about the millions of years and everything, and after the last great ice age and the water coming out from under the glaciers, and you can see how it made marks in the land. Well, this all happened rather rapidly, not over millions of years. And if you would just look in Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, it reads, maybe I better come over here by the microphone. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, pretty precise, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so that's where it came from, the deep. People kind of ignore that, and the fact that the earth was probably on a perfect balance of its axis. There hadn't been any rain yet since before the flood. Yeah, they were kicked out of the garden, and there was evil, and it was rampant, and that's why there was going to be a flood. And then we'll have people, they believe the Bible, but no, it had to be just a local flood. Well, if it was just a local flood, why the ark and preserving all types of life? You know, so no, that doesn't hold up either. And then you'll have some people say, well, it couldn't have been because Mount Everest is 6 miles high. Well, who says Mount Everest existed before the flood? Okay, there were hills and mountains, yeah. But you can see Mount Everest is pushed up kind of on its side. There's a lake on the side of it. And, you know, we have mountain building, and we had the continents come apart, you know, and the oceans are showing us that we're still flooded. You know, they didn't have oceans before like that. And that's why you find these steps, giant steps that are like 10 feet high off of the coast of different countries and continents. Off of Japan is the one I'm thinking about right now. But the first clip we have is to do with Vince Finelli. Our friend Vince Finelli in preparedness, and he's on Jeff Rentz now. And it's pretty interesting what he has to say there. If you want to go ahead and start that, please, Sam.
Most people will not, they keep putting off responsible behavior. And I don't see any way to correct that, frankly, except lead by example, which you tried to do even as a teenager and did. I don't know what to tell them. That's why your show is so important. Go ahead.
You're talking about how many people follow this kind of logic thought process. How many people do you know, I'm asking rhetorically, that you might say, you know, I'm at the store and they're having a sale. Canned vegetables, 59 cents a can. I'm going to get some. How many would you like me to get for you? What would the answer be? And I know what it is, because our instructors talk about this on the air. They call their friends, call their family.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, I could use some 2-3 cans. That'd be good. 2-3 cans. Well, let's go through the numbers, Jeff. Here are some of the numbers about. We'll call this consumption or the burn rate. Most people have no idea how much food they really need. And when times get tough, you eat more, not less. You eat more because
stress,
you need more
stress
calories.
Eating.
Right?
Yeah, that okay. too.
So let's say we have a family of four in this scenario. Mm-hmm. Family of four, and they're going to have 3 meals a day. So 4 times 3 is 12. That's 12 plates. Let's say we're going to give each person 1 can of either green beans, corn, canned corn, or baked beans. So let's say we have all three. Mm-hmm. And so for one meal we have corn, one meal we have green beans, and the other meal we have baked beans. You get 1 can. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So 4 people, 3 meals a day, that's 12 cans a day. That's a case of vegetables, canned vegetables.
Per day, friends.
Per day.
Per day, yeah.
84 cans a week. That's 7 cases per week. That's 336 cases a month. If you just say 4 weeks is a month, it's really 4.3. So this is a little shy of the real number. That's 4,032 cans a year. The numbers are staggering. So, and is it realistic? I mean, I've eaten a can of corn all by myself, and I'm still hungry. I've eaten a can of beans all by myself for a meal, and I'm still hungry. And I've eaten a can of... We have these fire drills here at the farmhouse, you know, mm-hmm. to make sure that we're in tune with the reality of consumption. It's staggering. And if you think back to those family members and friends that say, yeah, 2 or 3 cans, that'd be good. Yeah, that'd be fine. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we're thinking cans. 6 yeah. cases, you know, 12
you
cases.
You got it. Yeah, right. 4,032
a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can't live on a can of beans, can of corn. You might be able to do it if you... They're high. Beans are good. All right, that's the good part. But other than that, your diet is just I don't know how 1/100 of 1%. You might be right. You might well be right.
We
I don't
use,
know anyone who could explain to me what you just explained to everyone. I mean, I know the basics, but I don't know anybody who could tell me the basics. Not like that.
We use a term at USA Preparers and. It's called GDP. Not exactly what it sounds like. It stands for the generally dumb public. And really, there are people who do some incredibly dumb things. There was a gal in New York a couple days ago, and she was going upstate. She wanted to. She's a pediatrician. She's in her 50s, and so the family got together and they had an Airstream travel trailer hooked up to mm-hmm. their truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they stopped off for gas, and she got some ice cream. And she thought, you know, last 20 minutes, she was going to ride in the travel trailer. It's a dumb thing to do, right? I mean, really? In a travel trailer? You're sitting duck, right? Well, the door flew open. Out she went, and she got killed. Now, I would think that a pediatrician would be, you know, pretty smart. But obviously... Not a lot of common sense. So
no.
This
no.
is part of the GDP. I mean, I feel terrible for her and her family. But what was she thinking? And people do really dumb things. There's a guy who just is suing Tesla, his family suing Tesla. He was playing video games on his phone mm-hmm. while the car was going 70 miles an hour, crashed into a concrete barrier, and he died.
God, yeah.
I mean, it's terrible,
GDP,
right?
GDP, all the way.
GDP, yep. So it's everywhere. It truly is everywhere. You know, in Germany, they have, you know, there are traffic lights at in intersections, you know, for cars. Well, in Germany, sure. they've embedded some of them in the sidewalks because people don't look up anymore. They don't look where they're going anymore, but they're looking down. So they have lights to tell you in the sidewalk whether you can cross the sidewalk or not. Because
no
they
kidding.
You're looking at
no kidding. You're staring down at your damn phone, so they put right. the lights on the... I can't... That. Wow. That came That's on the heels of a lot of fatalities, I would think, for them to go that far to do that.
You know, the stories of the guys who, you know, walk into fire hydrants. I mean, and they remember that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet they
literally.
Do.
Yeah. Literally. I'm not making that up. It's true.
This whole thing of phone addiction is astounding. No one has properly assayed it in the mainstream. No, they're not talking about it. They ignore it. They don't want people to know. It's not only dangerous, but it drains your brain of so many things that are human. It just turns you into an automaton.
Literally, our class, that's what we call our broadcast class, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. a radio broadcast classroom. We've talked over the years. I used to be a computer jockey. I lived in Virginia. And we started a computer manufacturing company. And so I was a consultant, and I would go around to businesses, and I would install the networks and teach the customers how to use the computers and how it worked and how to maintain them and those kinds of things. And in the evenings, I would come back, and I would load software. So, and it would take hours and hours. So we had a bench, and we had 8 computers running with monitors and switches, so I could install software on 8 of them at a time. Right. And these were the early days, so like 16 megahertz computers, and then 33 megahertz, and 50, and then 100 megahertz, and 133, and the megahertz numbers got higher and higher and higher. And what these were, the chassis that we used were all metal, so all metal skin to shield the electromagnetic radiation and keep it in. And we sent them off to a testing lab to make sure that they were safe. And they were. And what I would do is, at night, I would put the computers on the bench, and I'd take the covers off, and I'd load software, check the hard drives, check temperatures, make sure the heat sinks were all working fine, the cables were on fine, and I would do the final round of QC and burn-in. And what I found out was, as the computer megahertz clock speed went higher and higher and higher, when it got to about a gigahertz, I'd have to write myself notes as to what I did with the first computer, the second computer. But before that, I could remember. And I got confused. And I literally had to write myself notes as I was working on each computer to remember what I did to each one, so I wouldn't do it twice and so I wouldn't forget, to do that operation. And what I found out was, if I put the covers back on, I didn't have to write it down. But if I took the covers off, I got confused. Now, we're talking at frequencies of 1 gigahertz. And more. Now, 2.4 gigahertz is what the cell phones operate at most of the time, and that's the same frequency as a microwave oven. And 100% of the microwave ovens leak. 100%. Not just
they
some.
All leak.
They all leak.
Yeah, I know.
So you can cook a hot dog in 60 seconds. You can put a hot dog in the microwave oven, hit start, 1100 watts, 60 seconds, it's cooked. Or you can cook it at 1% for 1,100 seconds, it'll still cook. So when you have a phone right against your brain, is a clear shot right to your brain through the ear canal.
Right.
This is crazy.
I think we've all seen the pictures of brains actually after, 15 minutes with a cell phone next to the ear, and how that side of the head is red, it's hot. Mm-hmm. It actually is cooking your brain. It's literally cooking your brain. There's no question about it. It's what it's doing.
Yeah, just like that hot dog. I mean, one of our instructors, I mentioned his name, Bert Bertonis. He is in California, and he was developing a new technology. And so he went, this is Silicon Valley, San Jose, Cupertino. Mm-hmm. He went up to the mountaintop years ago, and he measured the microwave radiation. And he noticed that at 8 o'clock in the morning, not 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, the radiation peaked. And it peaked around 11, 12, 1 o'clock. And then it peaked around 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And he figured out what it was. It was all the microwave ovens cooking, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so there's so much microwave radiation.
Wait a minute. I got to process that. I never thought of that. That's random EMF. Measurable, and it's coming from all the microwaves in use. How
it's a sum of all the microwave leakage.
Wow.
Yeah. But that was then. It's no longer the case. Now, and so you could look at the floor of electromagnetic radiation. You could say, okay, the floor is, you know, between breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But then it would peak for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But now the floor is higher than the peak used to be because of all the cell phone electromagnetic radiation and people using microwave. And we're talking about the 80s, you know, in this first study. Yeah. Yeah. Now we're talking, you know, years later, the microwave radiation is so high, I mean, you can't escape it.
45 years later, we are living in a soup of EMF, and it is not good for us, not healthy. And add to that the injections, the bioweapon, and the bioweapon virus itself. We're in real trouble here, real trouble. And the sad part of it is, I keep going back to what you said, 1/100th of 1% truly, viably, competently prepared to deal with 1 week without electricity and all the things that electricity brings us. I think you may be right. I do.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know anybody, Vince, nobody who is properly prepared except me and you and a lot of our listeners whom I don't communicate directly with. But this is a great audience. They get it. Your audience is as good as it's going to get.
Well, our faculty is very, very well prepared as well. But the fact of the matter is nobody is really totally prepared for what we're facing. And here's true. So if we're talking about 1/100th of 1%, if you think about it, how many people go shopping?
All righty, we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back and finish this up. Thank you, Sam.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back here, and I think we have a couple more minutes on there, don't we, Sam? 4 more minutes? Okay. You go ahead and play that.
Say to the family, I'm going to the store. They go to the store, and they don't take a list. When they get to the supermarket, for example, then they call home and say, okay, what do you want me to get? Okay, well, I'll get that. Hold on. Let me go. I'll get those.
Is this a common? I don't know this. I don't know much about people shopping at that.
They're on the phone all the time. As a matter of fact, they don't know what they're doing. They will push their shopping cart down the middle of Sam's Club, in the middle of an aisle. They'll leave it there, totally oblivious that they're blocking traffic, and they'll be on the phone talking with their hands, oblivious to the fact that everybody around them can hear the whole conversation. And then they'll walk off and get something, 50 feet away, 100 feet away, and then come back to the cart. I mean, who does this? Only if you're in a trance would you do that. Another thing is, how many people would know how to get there, wherever they're going, if they didn't have GPS? How many people? How many young people can you say, how long will it take me to get to from where we are right now to over there? How long will it take? They can't estimate. They're not able to estimate.
No. GPS. I've never used GPS ever to find my way anywhere. It's foreign to me. I get what you're saying, and I see the addiction there too. And they lose practical common sense on how to find their way around. Good grief.
Right. So if they can't estimate, they can't plan, right? How can you plan if you can't estimate? So what has happened is the cell phone has been really destructive to society. And I don't think people realize that. I don't think they do. Because, for example, we used to say, I'll tell you what, I'll meet you at 4:30. And at 4:30, you'd show up, right? Well, now it's, okay, I don't know what I'm doing this afternoon, but yeah, I'll let you know. And then the person would forget to let you know. It's like, what's the best deal right now? And they'll drop whatever they were going to do for the next best thing, the next best deal. It didn't used to be like that. Your bond was your word. Not anymore.
No, sir. No.
So all of this relates to preparedness.
Sad. Yeah. It does relate perfectly.
You know,
the kind of mind, Vince, if something really big happens, and I don't see how it can, we're going to lose a lot of people in the most dystopian, Blade Runner kind of horror with cannibalism than most people couldn't even imagine. This thin veneer of civilization will evaporate very quickly. Cops aren't going to answer 9/11. They're going to be home taking care of their family. Nobody's going to come. It's going to be right that person in the mirror.
That's one way of looking at it. Here's another way of looking at it. I said to one of our children, I said, you know, I think the cops are just going to go home. And our son said, no, Dad, they're going to be in business for themselves. They are going to take whatever they want because they have the guns. They're just going to show up. If they're not prepared and they're hungry, they're going to say, I'm hungry. And here's the muzzle of my of my 9mm.
That will happen. Absolutely.
It's sad.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to say, okay, and just hope and pray they don't take everything you have. Don't tell anyone you're prepared. That's another axiom that you've known for a long time. You can't share that information. Not with random friends and random associates. Close friends, okay. You don't do that. Now, these are unprecedented dangers we face. Unimaginably so. People don't understand. It's not convenient. And there's always denial, procrastinate. And even if it's 1%, let's say you're 99/10 of a percent off. Not 100 to 1%. 1% is inexcusable. After all the notice they've had for how many decades now, things are getting worse and worse. And when the industry caught up with desire and demand and made food products that would last for 20 years, I don't know what the average supermarket product will do, by the way, in terms of shelf life. But you've got to be really... How can people be what they aren't? I guess maybe I could phrase it that way. They are not thinking prepare. They just put it off. And I'm not knocking everybody because a lot of them don't have any money. They literally don't now. We don't have any disposable income in many sectors of our society. So how can they'll say, well, how can I go out and prepare? Well, it's awfully late to start asking that question. You should have done this 10 years ago or more.
Yeah. I'm in total agreement. You know, here's an interesting thing. Facebook Marketplace. I'm not a big fan of Mark Zuckerberg, but he has a window into society, and he lets you look into some of it. And Facebook Marketplace is a window that will tell you some of what's going on. And here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that people are selling.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's... more than enough, and I put the link in the chat room, so if you want to hear the whole hour or 45 minutes, whatever it works out to be, there's a lot there. It's very interesting, but the bit about common sense, the GDP is the general dumb public, generally dumb public, and what he said about EMFs and how now there's no escaping it, you know, on a mountaintop. Some years ago, you got a peak of when the microwaves are being used, which we shouldn't be using that to fix our food anyway, you know, of course. But now that's nothing. That the base rate is way above that because of the cell phone usage. And a lot of that is right next to your head. And again, I think about, well, we have Orenthal James passing away at age 76, but his widow, not his widow, Johnny Cochran's widow, one of his lawyers, and he had Dershowitz and Shapiro, and he had the dream team, right? So anyway, Cochran was running around when the cell phones were these big brick things with that thing next to his head all the time, and he had a brain tumor, and that's what killed him. But the courts gagged his widow from talking about it. So you can see this is a plan all along to get us into this soup. And people can't think straight. You know, not only is your word not your bond anymore, but you have no sense of direction. You know, I had said before about Hans Utter talking with whoever it was, and they're so reliant on the GPS from the cell phone to get them anywhere. They have no idea what the cardinal directions are. Just, you know, standing where you are. Okay, where's the sun? Okay, it's cloudy, so can't use that. So you learn to know which direction you're facing and which direction you want to be going in, you know? So, I don't know. Anyway, it's just where we are. And I forgot to do something, and I'm going to do it right now, and that's offer our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us all the time. Please guide us, each and every one of us, to do your will for us. And please bless Neely Petri Blanchard in particular, and help her through what they're doing to her. And I would ask for Justin Leslie, who was Ingrid's guest last night, to please pray for him. I think he's on a cutting edge, and he needs your protection. He needs our prayers. And please keep our connection secure and help me deliver a succinct message. In Jesus' name, amen. So this Neely Petri Blanchard, I just didn't feel like playing any more of their conversations. But they're going out after her, and they had thrown her in a freezing cold cell naked. They took her clothes. And then they had some sort of machine up against the door so it would like rattle the door every so often. And I'm not sure what that was all about, just to make sure they stay. And then they kept coming in and taking her blood pressure, which was very low because she was cold. You know, so, and then all this stuff with QAnon. And again, it was Q, and it was supposedly 7 military and 3 civilians that were behind that. And I think there was a lot of good information released, and it was then taken over. Probably, you know, but so some of the things going on with that, somebody rammed into something in Atlanta, and they blamed that on QAnon, that they were a QAnon person. And, you know, it's just manipulation of everything. And whenever they put something out like that, they want you to poo-poo it. And that's what they've done all along with this Q thing, which, like I said, it showed us, like the Vanderbilt Mansion in Asheville, North Carolina, where there are supposedly sacrifices done every day, different types of sacrifices in different ways. But also you picture of the empty swimming pool and the tile work, and where you, if you're touring the place, you come out in a platform over one side, and below there is where these straps are hanging. And there's a artwork, quote unquote, that the Podestas have, that has this tile work and a boy all, you know, wrapped in one of these straps, and he looks like he's being starved to death. And someone's there making this artwork of him. And so it's just so much heartlessness. And I think the EMFs help with that too. It just makes us hard to be real human beings with real warm-blooded hearts. And but anyway, Sam, if you want to get that second one ready, this is Alex Newman, and it's talking about he has a book, and so we'll skip through the part where the ad for the book is. But it, on Rumble, it's a short film, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, by Alex Newman. And I think there's a little more to the title of the book, but go ahead and start that, Sam, please.
The brief series of interviews you're about to see come from Alex Newman, the author of the new book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. Newman's an investigative journalist and argues that public schools are not failing, but they're actually doing precisely what their founders intended them to do, which is to deliberately dumb down America's youth. The information you're about to see Newman share has been widely concealed from the public, despite being highly provable and obvious in original source documentation. Stay tuned.
Now, I think you really have to start at the beginning. You know, there's a really powerful myth that just refuses to die. And every generation talks about this. something has gone wrong. The schools aren't what they used to be when I was a child, and they're getting more and more woke. They're getting less and less focused on academics. And all of that is true, right? It gets worse with every passing generation. But if you go back to the beginning, you understand the mindset, the beliefs, and the goals of the people who actually created this system, all of it makes perfect sense. And so what I tell people is, look, the system is not broken. You just have to understand what was the purpose of the system. And thankfully, Josh, this isn't something we have to speculate about. The people who dreamed up this system, the architects of this system, the people who put it all into place were relatively open about their views. John Dewey, who's almost universally considered the founding father of America's public education system, this is a guy who was an aficionado of the Soviet Union. And we have the public record of this. He wrote articles about how wonderful he thought the Soviet system was. You go back a little further, you have a Horace Mann, who actually really was, I would say, the pioneer in terms of getting the government really involved in education in America. He took his cues from Prussia, which, again, was a dictatorship. They created the first ever education system of the state, by the state, and for the state. You go back a little earlier than that, the guy who first proposed the idea that the government ought to educate children, this was in the early 1800s, his name was Robert Owen. Very obscure today, but he was very prominent at the time. And this is a guy who was a full-blown communist. Now, it was before Karl Marx, so this wasn't, you know, a huge movement, but he believed that we should dismantle the family. He wanted to get the children away from their parents so they could be educated to be good, you know, collectivists. He wanted to get rid of private property. And to his credit, he believed so fervently in these ideas, he actually set up a commune to prove how great it would be. Totally failed. And when it failed, he didn't say, wow, maybe communism doesn't work. He said, I know the problem. It's because the government didn't educate these children to be what would later be called, you know, the new Soviet man, right? A collectivist who does everything for the good of the people, so-called. So that's the background in a nutshell there that people need to know.
I want to interrupt this short film for a brief moment to tell you three different...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I was muted. Yeah, we're going to jump over the ad and then continue on. It's a short ad, but we don't need to listen to it. Kind of need to see it.
That was the genesis of that. We also know from a whistleblower, a man named Orestes Brownson. Fascinating story. So this man was very much involved with the Owenites, as they were called, this kind of early socialist movement. And he eventually became a Catholic, and he repented of his involvement with this movement, and so he blew the whistle on what they were doing. And he said that Robert Owen set up a secret society, was the term he used, modeled on the Carbonari of Europe, which was a nasty, ruthless group of individuals. And their two surface-level objectives were to shift public opinion in favor of at least allowing the government's camel's nose under the tent to kind of get started in education. And then they also wanted to get men elected to legislatures who would support the idea that the government should play some role in education. And he said, Orestes Brownson revealed in his expose of this, he said the ultimate objective was to get rid of Christianity. Those were his exact words. And he said, you know, we weren't going to come out and tell everybody that we were going to get rid of Christianity. The plan was to first get a system of state schools and then national schools where we would exclude everything that couldn't be verified by the census. And, you know, we wouldn't openly mock the clergy, but we would bring them into contempt wherever we could. And and I think people need to understand how radical this was. When Alexis de Tocqueville came to America from France in the 1830s, he explained what a marvelous country this was, and he explained that virtually all education that wasn't directly under the control of parents was in the hands of the Protestant clergy. That was before the massive Catholic migration. And so there was no real government education at that time. Well, the system takes root in Prussia. Horace Mann brings it back to Massachusetts, publicly says he wants to get the Bible out, and, you know, people are like, what? How could you have education without the Bible? That's like an oxymoron. It's ludicrous. So that idea died, but the quackery came rushing in. And then John Dewey picks up the baton. So after he finishes in Massachusetts, he travels the country. He preaches at all the state legislatures the good news of salvation by government education. Again, totally flawed view of human nature, rejected the Bible. He kind of got in with the Unitarians. You know, they started off with the heresy of denying the Trinity, and then pretty soon they're into full-blown communism. amazing. So he sets up the system in Massachusetts, travels the country, and by the early 1900s, almost every state had government schools, had compulsory attendance laws. Now, it wasn't like today where you're going to hand over your kids for 9 months out of the year, for 5 days a week, for 8 hours a day. I mean, it wasn't quite that. that extreme. They still had the Bible there because, you know, parents wouldn't tolerate anything other than that. And then John Dewey steps in. So John Dewey is another communist. He took his cues from the Soviet Union rather than Prussia. And he was very open about his love for the Soviet Union. He wrote a whole bunch of articles about how great it was and how they were instilling a collectivistic mindset in the minds of the children. And that's what he wanted for America. Now, he differed a little bit with the revolutionary Marxists in that he didn't think armed revolution and violence was the way to achieve utopia. He thought a gradual approach would be more useful. But he outlined this crazy plan in 1898 to dumb down the population. It's in an essay he wrote called The Primary Education Fetish, where he said, you know, we have to do this gradually. If we force it unduly, there's going to be a violent reaction, is what he said. And he was right. There would have been a violent reaction. So he teams up then with the Rockefeller, and I'm trying to condense 200 years of history here into a very short.
No, it's great. Keep going.
Well, I appreciate it, Curtis. So he teams up with the Rockefellers, and this to people is really counterintuitive. Wait, you're saying a communist teamed up with the ultimate super capitalist to create this system? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, they had different beliefs, of course. Rockefeller wanted to make a huge amount of money. He had so much money, and he was getting attacked in the press. He thought, well, we'll give some away, and hopefully, you know, people will write good things about us in the newspaper. And so they teamed up, they started off with an experimental school at the University of Chicago under John Dewey's leadership. And the Rockefellers gave him $3.1 million, which at the time was a huge, huge sum of money. And interesting, they graduated a bunch of kids who could not read, who could not write, who could not do math properly, who could not tell right from wrong. And John Dewey and the Rockefellers both thought, this will be perfect. So they set out to kind of nationalize this. Dewey ended up moving over to Columbia. They imported the evildoers, who you know all too well, from the Frankfurt School. A lot of them actually were laundered through Columbia University with the help of John Dewey and the Rockefellers. And they basically injected this poison through the teachers' colleges of the country and then through the textbooks, so that by basically the period after World War II, Dewey's ideas had taken firm root in public schools across the country. You had basically a dramatic shift in the worldview that was being taught to the teachers and then eventually to the children. He was so popular, he was made the honorary life president of the National Education Association. And I'll say one more thing about Dewey, because I think this is really critical for Christians to understand. He was a religious man, but not in the sense that any of us might recognize. He actually described himself as a religious humanist. And he and 30-something of his buddies, mostly from academia, got together and they wrote what they called the Humanist Manifesto. They really saw themselves as the creators of this new enlightened religion. And it's, for some perspective, the very first tenet of this new religion, and people can read this document, it's publicly available, it says, we religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created, which you can compare and contrast with the Word of God, which says in the beginning, God created. And you see right there, you have a huge clash. Now, as you keep reading through Dewey's manifesto, you'll find it's basically communism. We got to get rid of the profit motive. We have to reorganize the means of production. We have to have collective ownership. And ultimately, the core of this religion is that because there is no real God, that makes us all God. And so we can determine then what is right and what is wrong. We can determine the best way to organize society. Forget the Bible. You know, that's old-fashioned stuff. And it's not a new religion. It's actually a direct descendant of the same lie that Satan gave in the garden, right? Ye shall be as gods, etc. And for the folks out there who are listening, who are not religious, who are maybe not Bible-believing Christians, I want you to think about the implications of this, even beyond, you know, eternity and your soul. Our founding father said it was a self-evident truth that we were all created equally and that God gave us rights and the government existed to protect those rights. Well, what happens if you embrace John Dewey's religion? Well, you have no rights because there is no God. And so this religion gradually made its way through the schools, to the point where the Supreme Court in the early 1960s actually kicked the Bible and prayer out of schools under the guise of the First Amendment. And in the words of Justice Potter Stewart, who wrote the dissent, they actually established the religion of secularism, which John Dewey would have recognized as humanism. And of course, that was the plan all along. One of the co-signers of this manifesto, C.F. Potter, wrote a book, Humanism, A New Religion, where he explained that we were going to use the public schools to spread this new religion. What's your Sunday school going to do with some of the kids 1 hour a week against 5 days of humanistic teachings? So you wonder, how did America turn against God? How did we end up leaving our heritage behind? Well, That's the answer. A false religion from the pit of hell has now been taught to our children for multiple generations, supported by our tax dollars, and now we see the fruit all around us.
All right, we'll go on a break and we'll hear the rest of this on the other side of the hour. Thank you, Sam.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.